looking like dewdrops on the rose petals. "Bye, Mom. I miss you already so much," Tommy whispered. The ice that had encased Tommy's exterior and had caused his senses to numb shattered in an instant. His heart flooded with pain and longing. He'd never felt this kind of emotion that was at once piercing and sharp, yet enveloped in a heavy iron-like pressure that took his breath away and promised never to ease. His future yawned before him, black, empty, eternal, and devoid of joy. All his life he'd met each day with eagerness to explore simple pleasures and gain seemingly impossible victories, because he knew his mother was there to watch him grow. He won his third-grade spelling bee just to see the smile on her face. He pushed himself in Little League because his mother was a baseball fanatic and dreamed of his someday pitching for the Cubs. She taught him to ride his bike without training wheels. She was his Cub Scout den mother, because if she had not volunteered, he, his neighborhood friends, and two cousins had no troop with room for them. When he sat down to her piano and played with a perfect ear, she immediately found an ex-Chicago Symphony pianist who was willing to teach Tommy to play for half price, as long as Joyce agreed to get Tommy to classes on time. She rode the bus with Tommy into the city on the days when Jed took the only family car to work. Tommy didn't know until years later the sacrifices Joyce had made to keep him in piano lessons. There was a reason she didn't have a new winter coat or a special Easter dress. She spent the money on Tommy. For Tommy, his father, and most of his school friends, Joyce Magley had been the center of their universe. Now the sun was gone. Tommy's world would never be the same. "Amen," Tommy said with the rest of the crowd as the priest ended the last of the ritual prayers. "The family of Joyce Magley invites you all to join them at the family home for brunch," Father Antonio said. "Come on, son," Jed said, putting his hand on Tommy's shoulder. "Your Aunt Loretta said she'd go on to the house from the church to make sure everything was ready. But you know how lost she gets in Joyce's kitchen." Jed pursed his lips together to keep them from quivering. "Yeah, Dad, I never understood that about Aunt Loretta," Tommy said, grateful to think of something besides the emptiness inside him. "Our kitchen is so small compared to what Aunt Loretta has." They moved carefully around the casket. "Why is that, Dad?"
"I don't know, son. Loretta doesn't like anything she can't understand. She never understood your mother."
"Just what is her beef about Mom?"
"Nothing, far as I could see."
"Well, it's got to be something," Tommy reasoned. Jed stopped when they reached the limousine.
"That's the thing about family. You got to take the good with the bad."
Tommy shook his head as his father climbed into the black limousine.
"Family or no, it still all has to make sense, doesn't it?" he asked, leaning inside.
Jed shrugged his shoulders.
"Whoever told you that?"
Tommy smiled.
"Mom?"
Jed nodded thoughtfully.
"She would."
He glanced at the back of the driver's head.
"Get in. I'll explain the meaning of jealousy to you on the way to the house."
Tommy rolled his eyes.
"Now that makes sense."
It had been 10 years since Tommy had been to a Magley family funeral, and at the time of his Uncle Carmine's death, Tommy had only been 10 years old. He did not understand that the manner of the death itself mattered to Italians. His Uncle Carmine had died in a barroom brawl over a woman who was not his Aunt Loretta. Loretta was humiliated more than she was bereft. Her pain came not from her husband's death, but from the fact that he died in another woman's arms. Because cancer had taken Joyce, Tommy expected his father's family to react with sadness and grief, as most other families do when a loved one passes away. Tommy had been to other funerals, Irish ones, Greek ones, Polish ones, Protestant ones. People spoke in comforting tones to each other. Even when the moments were awkward, he noticed sincerity. In the Magley family, every funeral, every wedding, and Holy Communion seemed to be an excuse for his Aunt Loretta to sound off against someone. Usually she chose Joyce because she was the only outsider. Tommy's mother was English by heritage and Protestant when she fell in love with Guillermo Magley in high school during the war. When Tommy's father was drafted into the army, they ran away and got married. When Tommy's father returned from Normandy, a decorated war hero, he changed his name to Jed. Aunt Loretta, Aunt Gina, and Grandma Maria, along with Grandpa Luigi, exploded. They took his decision as a slam against the family name. They threatened disinheritance. They threatened to never speak to him again. They ranted, raved, and fumed. Jed was stoic during the onslaught. He'd been to war and back. Their tirades disintegrated into vapors when he announced simply, "Joyce is converting." Luigi, Maria, and Gina dropped their opposition, but their acceptance of Joyce was always guarded. It was Loretta who harbored bitterness like an internal warship, which she let sail at every family gathering. At the few occasions when she was exposed to Joyce's parents, Helen and Bob, and Joyce's sister Jerry, such as Tommy's baptism, his birthday parties, and his graduation, Loretta ignored them all. It never occurred to her that she was missing out, or that getting to know them could enhance her life. Jed and Joyce were committed to being Americans in the new post-war world they had helped to create. They wanted their little family to be more loving, more tolerant, and generally happier than the families from which they came. To that end, they did not participate in every Italian family gathering the Magleys thrust upon them. The rest of the Magley family believed Joyce was the wedge that kept Guillermo from them. The limousine pulled up in front of the little bungalow Jed had built only a few years after World War II. Tommy peered out of the window at the crowd on the front lawn. "Who are all these people, Dad?" Jed leaned over his son.
"Some I recognize from church, but honestly, I've never seen half of them in my life."
"What can they possibly be doing here? It's a funeral, for Pete's sake," Tommy said, getting out of the car. A chubby woman in her mid-60s, dressed in a blue cotton summer dress, rushed up to Tommy.
"You must be Tommy," she gushed. "I swear I would know you anywhere. Joyce went on and on about you so."
The woman sniffed and dabbed her eyes with a lace-crocheted handkerchief.
"I'm Sophia Kowalski,"
she said, as if Tommy should know the woman's name.
"I'm sorry." He shook his head in bewilderment.
"Sophia Kowalski. Your mother saved my life."
"Excuse me?"
"I was in the hospital last year, dying. Your mother volunteers on Thursdays on my floor. I was there for 3 months. I'm sure she told you about me, about the miracle."
"No, I don't know anything about it." Tommy was stunned.
"I should be dead. Brain tumor. But your mother came to see me every day for 3 weeks, right after she went to morning mass. She brought me holy water every day and told me that if I believed I was healthy, I would be. She told me that she believed the tumor was a mistake and that it had never been there in the first place. 'Forget what the doctors tell you,' she said. So I did. She said a prayer with me every day until one day they took x-rays and it was gone. Poof!"
Sophia smiled widely. Tommy could hardly believe his ears.
"It just went away," he replied with disbelief.
Sophia dropped her smile.
"Kowalski, she never told you?"
"No."
"That's strange,"
she said, and walked away. A man in his early 30s carrying a 2-year-old boy moved behind Sophia to give his condolences.
"Hi, I'm Adam Weissman. This is my son, Ben. I'm a friend of your mother's. She was a saint, I can tell you, a saint. She changed my life, you know, getting me that job at the hospital like she did."
"Job? She didn't tell you?"
Adam asked.
"No."
Adam fought a trembling lip as his emotions overwhelmed him.
"I can't imagine what it must be like for you," he said, looking over at Jed. "And your father... To lose a woman like that, I don't think I will ever find a friend that loyal. Joyce was..."
Adam choked back a suffocating sob.
"One in a million."
Tommy felt as if his heart had been pulled from his chest one more time. It was amazing that somehow it kept finding its way back after each pummeling. He put his hand on Adam's shoulder to steady himself as much as to give strength.
"Thank you for coming," he said.